Welcome everybody to Parshas Vayishlach 5768. It's wonderful to see you all here. It's very nice to see everybody. The topic of the class today is fear. We're going to be referring to this topic in the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim, the Path of the Just by Rabbi Lutzato, which is our theme for this year. But I would first like to touch upon the reference to this in the Parsha. That's where we'll start. I wasn't able to find an actual quote. Well, I couldn't find a quote, but certainly a theme is very strongly referenced. At the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, Yaakov, who is on his way back from living with Lavan for 20 years, we spoke about that last week, is preparing with trepidation to meet his brother Esav, who has been away from him for 20 years, but last contact he had with Esav had sworn to destroy Yaakov. He even made attempts to do so through his son, Eliphaz. Eliphaz was instructed by Esav to run after Yaakov and to kill him. Eliphaz actually happened to sympathize with Yaakov, and he didn't want to harm him. But he had this strict command from his father. So he came to Yaakov and he said, "What am I going to do? My father said I should kill you, but I don't want to kill you." So Yaakov says, "I'll tell you what. I've got a lot of money I'm bringing with me from my father, from Yitzchak. Take all my money." And according to the view of the sages, a poor man is considered to be dead. So you can tell your father that I'm dead. And that's what they did. And that's why Yaakov came empty-handed to Lavan. And it says last week that when he saw Rachel, he cried. And one of the explanations why he cried is because he had nothing to give her. He saw her, he knew this was his intended one, and he would have showered her with lavish gifts, and he would have, but he had no money left, because he gave it all to Eliphaz. Anyway, that's just a nice little story. But as he prepares now to encounter Esav, the Torah says that he was afraid. He was very afraid. On page 172, chapter 32, verse 8, Vayira Yaakov me'od vayetzer lo. Jacob became very frightened and it distressed him. According to Rashi's comment, he was afraid of two things. He was afraid that he might get killed, and he was afraid that he might have to kill someone else. Both of them were equally frightening to him. So how did Yaakov allay his fears? What did he do to better his situation? The Torah describes in the next several verses how he prepared himself in three ways. And Rashi summarizes the three ways as follows. Hiskin atzmo lishlosha dvarim. He prepared himself in three ways. Ledoron, he prepared a tribute, a gift to Esav, hoping that he could butter him up and calm him down. And that is described in the beginning of the Parsha in great detail, how he took many animals, because Yaakov was very wealthy with animals, all kinds of animals, and he arranged them in like a, it would keep on coming in smaller groups, and it would be almost like intoxicating to Esav when he would see, look how many animals are coming. So that was one tactic. The other tactic was tefillah, prayer, and that is mentioned here in several verses, verse 10 and 11 and 12. We beseech Hashem to keep his promise, that he should protect him until he returns back to the land. That was the second way he prepared. And the third way was milchama, was for war. He prepared to defend himself. In verse 8 it says how he divided up his camp into two different camps, so that if there would be an encounter with one of them, the other one would be able to escape, or maybe to be able to retaliate from the other side. So Rashi, very, very often quoted, Rashi says that he prepared himself in these three ways, and commentaries say, as was mentioned, that the Jewish people should always use this as a model, as a battle plan. Every time we have to encounter our enemies, we should also engage in these three processes. We should pray to Hashem, we should try diplomacy, to try to talk or to offer or whatever we can, and also prepare militarily. The point that I would like to use as the launching point for our discussion is that here Yaakov was faced with a real fear, a real legitimate fear, And he prepared himself in three very practical, pragmatic ways on how to deal with his fear and how to conduct himself. To just share some terms that we would like to use at this point, there are two important terms we've mentioned before in this class on how to deal with life. One is the term hishtadlus, effort. Try to help myself. I'm faced with a situation, whether it be financial, whether it be social, whether there be a physical danger. I do my hishtadlus, I do what I can put forth, effort. And then there's the other factor called the bitachon, trust in God. God helps those who help themselves is probably an outgrowth of this concept of hishtadlus and bitachon, endeavor, effort, coupled with trust in God. And the age-old question, the million-dollar question is, how much hishtadlus and how much bitachon? How much effort and how much trust? And I know that we've discussed this in the past, but I want to take a look at this again. Whatever answer we will give to this question, how much of one and how much of the other, both parts are essential. The hishtadlus is essential, the effort put forth from the human end is essential, and the bitachon is essential. Once a person deals with the situation at hand, he should come out that there's no more fear, because he's done the proper effort, and the rest of it he's left up to Hashem. If he has made the proper balance of these two elements, the fear should be gone. And how do we know that the fear should be gone? Here's where Rabbi Luzzatto starts. Well, first of all, let me give a brief overview of what part of the book I'm going to be referring to. I was so impressed last week when we started talking about the different qualities, the virtues, and people started rattling them off. You know, the first one is vigilance. We spoke about that last week. And I said after vigilance, somebody called out alacrity or zealousness. And after that, cleanliness. So we're getting it down here, get the rhythm. So last week we spoke about the first quality of vigilance. This week we're going to be talking about the second quality, the virtue of alacrity. In Hebrew, the word is zrizus. Zrizus, when you hear the word zrizus, you think of somebody who is conscientious, he's a doer, he gets up and does things right away, he doesn't procrastinate, he's not lazy. He gets up and he does what he has to do without hesitation. So that's the second virtue, alacrity, zrizus. And Rabbi Luzzatto breaks this down also into four chapters, just as he did with vigilance. The first chapter, chapter 6, is explaining the virtue of zrizus. What is it? What's its concept? The seventh chapter is the elements of zrizus, breaking it down into even further definition. The eighth chapter is acquiring zrizus. How does one acquire it? And the ninth chapter is factors that undermine zrizus and how to avoid them. As we spoke about last week, there's the offense and then there's the defense. We're trying to acquire a virtue, and at the same time that we're trying to employ the methods to acquire it, there are factors that are working against us, and it's an uphill battle. So we have to be aware of the offensive moves, and we also have to be able to read the defense and know how to avoid the defense. So I'm going to be referring to various quotes from chapters 6 through 9 and how it relates to fear. So the first quote is from page 49, which is chapter 9. Chapter 9 says that one of the factors which undermines rezus is fear. One of the things that keep people from getting up and doing what they should be doing is they're afraid. Another factor that can lead to the loss of alacrity is excessive fear and dread of the transient and its various manifestations. A person may be afraid of the cold, or of the heat, or accidents, or illness, so on and so forth. But besides fear, what is the other? If there's two factors that undermines rezus, fear and laziness. Laziness. bump on the log. So we'll talk about that another time. It's hard to find examples of laziness in the Torah because nobody's lazy. But fear is in the Torah. Okay? So Yaakov was afraid. Yaakov teaches us how to deal with your fear. And thus we are studying about fear. Now, earlier I made a statement that after we figure out how much effort and then trusting in God, there should be no fear left. How do I know that? Because Rabbi Luzzatto says on page 49, the same place, next paragraph in chapter 9, the sages of blessed memory have criticized the characteristic of fear and associated it with those who sin. A verse in Scripture supports this idea, declaring, "The sinners in Zion were afraid. The wicked were gripped with trembling." So you see that they're called sinners because they were afraid. They are called wicked because they were gripped with trembling. Fear is associated with those who sin to such an extent that one of the great sages, upon seeing that his disciple was filled with fear, said, "You are a sinner." He didn't do anything wrong. He was just afraid. He was a scaredy cat. And his Rebbe told him that he was sinning. However, with reference to this, it has been stated, "Trust in the Eternal and do good. Then you shall dwell in the land and be sustained by your faith." So, it is a religious duty to remove fear from our lives with a combination of ishtadlus, effort, and bitachon, and trust in God.
Fear of what?
Any fear. Fear of anything. Okay, now we're going to delve further into this. To quote Rabbi Luzzatto further, he says, in summation, same page, a person must place himself on a temporary footing in this world. He's summing up even what he said before about laziness, permanent one in relation to his service of the Eternal. With worldly matters, he must be content and satisfied with whatever he happens to find. He must take from what comes his way, shun ease, be prepared to work and toil, and his heart should be secure in its trust in the Eternal without fear of the consequences that time and its afflictions may bring. Person has to remove fear from his or her life. Then comes the big question. But you may object. We find that the sages require one to protect himself carefully, wherever he is. Not place himself in danger, even if he is a tzaddik, a righteous person. The Torah says in Devarim, you shall be very careful of yourselves. We see that one cannot decide to just have trust in the Eternal. Even for a mitzvah, one must be careful not to endanger himself. So here's the question, the million-dollar question. How much trust can I really have? I can just have trust indiscriminately? The extreme of that would be that I wouldn't do anything about it. It seems that I have to do something about it. Well, if I have to do something about it, how can I remove the fear? So here comes his attempt to give us a working formula for balancing these two. The hishtadlus on the one hand, the effort on the one hand, and the trust on the other hand. One has to distinguish between different kinds of fear. There is fear that is appropriate and fear that is irrational. There is trusting in the Eternal and there is recklessness. For the Master, blessed be He, created man with an intelligent mind and the ability to reason so that he would be able to conduct himself properly and safeguard himself from the noxious phenomena that have been created to punish evildoers. One who chooses to ignore wisdom and is willing to place himself in danger is not displaying trust, but rather recklessness. Such a person is sinning by flouting the will of the Creator, may His name be blessed, who wants man to protect himself. So, a big part of the answer is, as you may have heard from a lot of people, from your parents, from your co-workers, from your bubby, use your seichel, use your God-given brains to chart your course. If you're afraid, don't cross the street without looking. Don't go mountain climbing without proper protection. Use your seichel. If you don't use your seichel, don't ask God to protect you. Because the biggest means by which we protect ourselves is using our mind. God will say, I gave you something to protect yourself. Use it. Now, assuming I have used my wisdom, I have thoughtfully and carefully and responsibly analyzed the situation, and I've figured out what makes sense. Like Yaakov. What makes sense in this situation? We have to protect ourselves in case they attack. We have to be ready to defend. We have to try diplomatically. We have to pray to God. After that, what more is there that I can do? I've done everything that I can do. I can't think of any other thing to do. Now comes trust. And if you don't go to the next step of trust, and you're still afraid, after you have used your mind, after you have used the gift of wisdom that God has given you, now you're doing what is called irrational fear, which in itself is a sin. Irrational fear, however, is characterized by a person's tendency to be overly self-protective and overly fearful. His protective measures, why is it such a sin? What's wrong? Some people say that if you want to do a mitzvah, go overboard. You want to give charity, give more charity. So, if I'm supposed to put in effort, put in lots of effort. If I'm supposed to be careful, be so careful that it borders on the irrational. Who cares? What's wrong with being extra careful? What's wrong with being extra worrying? Because his protective measures are so elaborate that they lead to the neglect of Torah study and of divine service. That's what's wrong with it. If a person is going to spend their whole life just worrying about everything, they're not going to accomplish what they're put here to accomplish, which is to serve God and to create a relationship with Him and to build up our Jewish character. That's the problem with it. That's why it's a sin. So I don't know what the actual coordinates are. I can't tell any one person how much effort, how much shishtadlus, and how much bitachon, how much effort and how much trust. That may vary from person to person, because everybody has a different mind, everybody has a different comfort level when it comes to trust. And I don't think there is a one answer, one size fits all. But the goal is to come out at the end that we've removed, to the best of our ability, that fear factor. And so we should be able to continue on our path and strive for divine service. Now here is where I would just like to expand the discussion to other kinds of fears. Because, let's face it, thank God, we are not daily faced with fears of enemies attacking us, depending on where we live. I'm not going to say that it doesn't exist. The land of Israel, there's some pretty scary things. But thank God, these are not the everyday fears that we have. But how much are we held back from our own mission of divine service because of fear? I used to think, when I knew about these two factors that undermine zrizus, alacrity, laziness over fear, I used to think that laziness overshadowed everything. That there is just such a human tendency to take it easy, to chill out, to look for the easy way, that's our biggest enemy, is laziness. But thank God, as I've gotten older, a little more conscientious, more in control, I find that the laziness is somewhat reduced, I think. But I'm shocked at how much fear creeps in to our psyche and how much that holds us back. And this could be for many psychological or real factors. Fear of the unknown, fear of change, fear of challenges, particularly fear of failure when trying to meet these challenges. This could be in the area of our livelihood, our career. This could be in the area of matchmaking, finding a mate. How many people are withheld from finding a mate because they're afraid? Afraid of a commitment, afraid of limiting their options, the path that a person takes spiritually and religiously, afraid of change, afraid of what people are going to say, what's going to happen with the relationships, and on and on and on. I would say that fear affects so much of our lives. And here's where I think we should start feeling a little bit uncomfortable. Do we accept, do we even recognize or even realize that living in a constant state of fear of these things is a sin? Do we think that inaction is something that is flouting the will of the Creator? That here He gave us an intelligence, He gave us a mind and the ability and the freedom to make changes and to move forward, and by not doing it because we're afraid, we are, in a sense, betraying Him.
Couldn't some of that fit in the umbrella of procrastination?
It may be. It may be. It may be that. But it's hard to discern. That's why as I get older, I start to realize that fear is a greater deterrent than laziness. We get up and do the things that we want to do without too much trouble. It's motivation, but a lot of things we don't do because we're afraid. And what we're learning from Mesilas Yesharim is fear is not an excuse. It's a sin. It's not an excuse. Because either you can do something about it, you have the mind, the intelligence, or trust in God. But there shouldn't be fear at the end.
Sometimes fear is good because, I mean, you have to protect yourself. I mean, it's good that you have fear of things, not to be stupid and do things without thinking or planning ahead.
Absolutely.
So it's very clear when you go and climb on mountain and you have to prepare. But there are some projects that we have, it's not conventional.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to plan it differently. I mean,
right. And that's very important, especially in spiritual matters. It is not, for example, it is not a good idea to make an extreme change. That's not a good idea. That's not being seicheldik. That's not using your wisdom. People who make changes quickly, they lose it quickly. And they create problems in their lives and in the lives of their relatives. That's not a seichel thing to do. And just as we say, you don't enter into a physically dangerous situation without taking precautions, that would also be a sin. The same with personal or spiritual matters. Mm-hmm. You can't do something without rational thinking. Okay, that's step one. Step two is use your mind and move forward. And don't say, I can't because I'm afraid. We have the tools to overcome our fears. Hishtadlus and bitachon. Our effort, which is governed by our seichel, our mind, our intellect, and then trusting in God. So that's the point. We can't get stuck in the fear. It's not an excuse. You know, in general, a person might think also that the whole concept of zrizus, of getting up and doing, is like icing on the cake. The most important thing is that I shouldn't do wrong, that I shouldn't be negative, I shouldn't be destructive, I shouldn't hurt people, I shouldn't violate. But if I don't get up and do more, you know, all right. So I'm not an A student. I'm not the top of the class. I'm not the valedictorian. Who says I have such a great obligation to do and to accomplish and to move forward and to be Zerizus anyhow? So Rabbi Lutzato says at the beginning of his Zerizus, in chapter 6, he says that's not true. On page 38, he says, regarding the lazy person, like that's the question I'm asking. Is a lazy person bad, or is he just lazy? Is he a bad person, or is he just not a high achiever? How many people think that a lazy person is bad? Not so many, right? He's just, poor guy, he could accomplish so much more if he would have zrizus. Okay, so he's not such a high achiever, but there's nothing wrong with him. That's wrong. Rabbi Lutzato writes that a lazy person, even though he does no harm actively, nonetheless harms himself through his passivity. And Shlomo HaMelech said in Mishlei Proverbs, one who is lax in his work is a brother to the master of destruction. It's a fancy way of saying it. Even though he is not the destructive agent who directly committed the evil, there is not much difference between them. In reality, he is his brother. The lazy person is the brother of the destructive person. and they are equally harmful. And that's the point of Zrizus. The point of Zrizus is to say that just as we have an obligation to be vigilant, to watch what we do and not to commit acts of commission, the very next step is acts of omission.
Says laziness is the brother of what?
Of destructiveness. In other words, a person who does the wrong thing, who is harmful, is destructive, everyone will say, well, he's bad. The lazy person, he didn't do anything wrong, so he's not so bad. That's what we would think.
Yeah.
And he's saying it's not true. He's his brother. So we've basically covered the idea that, let's face it, life is a precious gift. Time moves ahead. We are given the mind of wisdom, of the intellect. True, there are lots of things to be fearful of, no argument, but we are given two powerful tools to move forward in the face of fear. Our hishtadlus, our effort, which comes from our mind, and bitachon, trusting in God. Particularly if our venture is to do that which God Himself put us here to accomplish. Not to move forward just because we're lazy or just because we're afraid. And yes, there are things to be afraid of. These are real fears. Yaakov Avinu tells us you don't just stand there and sit there and be afraid and say, I can't do anything. That is the wrong approach. So that is our lesson for today. We should be filled with appreciation, thanksgiving to God for the precious gift of life, of health, of wisdom. We should engage in an active thought process, reflection, contemplation of what are the goals, how we would like to move forward on the path. We must utilize every ounce of our God-given seichel, our mind, to make proper choices, not to venture into areas which are dangerous or foolish, but by all means to gird ourselves with bitachon of trust in God and to really utilize the life that we are given and not to stay behind because of the fear factor. That is the lesson that we learn from Yaakov, and as we apply it to every area of life. Hopefully, we felt a little bit uncomfortable. I also feel uncomfortable when I think about this, think about all the things that we can do and are not doing. But hopefully that feeling of discomfort leads to a sense of chizuk, of strengthening our resolve and our confidence to move forward and to conquer life. Okay, can I just take one comment?
What about fear of Hashem?
Fear of Hashem. You know, I think that fear of Hashem is a totally different concept.
Yeah. Okay.
It's reverence. It's awe. It's something which motivates. If it's something that's keeping you back, it's probably not what really fear of Hashem is.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
You know. Okay.
I guess we're looking at the key things you said here is success in fear.
Yes.
And then stuck in fear.
Yeah.
Because I got to believe that still Yaakov was when he came out there to meet him, he did everything he could do, spiritually, you know, physically and everything, and everything with effort and prayer. He had to be a little nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had to be a little nervous.
You know,
what's going to really happen here?
I was thinking about this.
God said he'd protect me, but he had a, you know, so.
I was
sure when it went well, I'm sure he went.
I was thinking about this question. It says that he was afraid, and then it says he did all of his hishtadlus, he did all of his effort. I was wondering, does that mean that he wasn't afraid anymore? And based on what we're learning, I assume that Yaakov Avinu had a copy of this. I think it was the older edition. But it says in this book that to fear is a sin. So my guess is that he was afraid initially, as we all should be when we're encountered with a new situation. Then he says, okay, let me get a hold of myself. These are the three steps.
It's saying to be stifled
and
by the fear is a sin. Everyone has fear. You just march on through it.
But you know what? I think there's a way to get past the fear. If you do the steps of Hishtadlus and you inculcate what this means to have trust in God, that's something you have to mentally and emotionally, you have to learn to absorb. After you do that, I think that the fear goes away.
You have to trust in your intellect. It all revolves around trusting in your intellect.
because if you've made decisions in the past that maybe haven't panned out, you may be making some more decisions that may not pan out. That may bring out some fear.
Well, remember, after you fuse your intellect, that still doesn't mean that you know the answer to things. That's when you turn it over to Hashem. And if you failed, then a person who has done this properly will not kick himself when he fails. Because the person will say, I did my hishtadlus. Remember, I know I told you this story. Years ago, my brother was still in the yeshiva in Baltimore, and there was a rabbi, Rabbi Gibber, who was trying to start a yeshiva out in Providence, Rhode Island. There was a Jewish community, a small Jewish community. So in order to start this yeshiva, he was told by the backers that there had to be at least 6 students. So he left on one Sunday, traveled from Baltimore, and traveled around to the various high schools, wherever he went, to try to recruit 6 students. And he came back at the end of the week, and you could see that he was all excited. He was buzzing. He walks into the Beis Medrash. My brother happened to be there. And he came over, and I think he gave my brother a big hug. And my brother looked at him and said, did you find your 6 students? Is that why you're so happy? He says, nope, not a one. I didn't find any student. So he says, why are you so happy? He says, because I did everything I could have done. The rest is in Hashem's hands. And that gave him joy. He wasn't nervous anymore. And that year he started off with 6 students. He didn't know where they came from. So I think that the answer is that if we're doing it right, we're doing the right hishtadlus, and we're expressing bitachon, it really should take the fear away. We should actually be joyful.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.